emphasis of this lesson, there are specific signs that indicate a church or believer is in trouble spiritually. If we will be alert to these warnings and take the needed actions, we can avoid the disaster and the spiritual deadness that befell the church in Sardis. Years after Cyrus' invasion, the people of Sardis again became proud and thought that they and their great wealth were secure, but they were not. Eventually, the city of Sardis and the Lydian kingdom fell to the Roman Empire and came under their rule in 133 B.C. Solon, an Athenian statesman, who is called one of the wisest of the Greeks, visited Sardis at this time of the early New Testament and was shown the magnificent luxury of the city. He said that nothing compared to this splendor. But he also said that nowhere was there a greater contrast between past splendor and present decay than in the city Sardis. It had become totally degenerate. Although it had a history of magnificence, it had fallen into dilapidation, a state of decay or ruin, and was filled with moral filth and moral decay. Specifically, Solon noted that the men of Sardis were known for softness. The word soft that he used indicated the men had become feminine. And I think you're aware that this is still being pushed today. So the demon that was at work then is the same demon that is at work today. He hasn't stopped pushing the same subject. So feminine, they were wearing women's clothing. The word soft, used by the Greeks, also signified the sexually deviant nature of society in Sardis, including widespread homosexual behaviors that were considered fashionable there. The more feminine or soft the men became, the more of their masculinity was lost. The city was degenerate, and what was happening in the city had begun to infiltrate the church. Verse 1. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. These things saith he. Who is he? He is Jesus Christ. He is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He is also God as Jesus Christ. He is also the one who is going to judge every human being. And every human being will be judged by the word of the living God. Notice the word hath. The word hath means to have in one's possession. Here Jesus was saying, I am the one who has and is holding in my possession the seven spirits of God. Listen closely. Here's the question. Does God have seven spirits? The answer is no, he does not. It is referring to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to page 2. We're laying the foundation this morning for the further discussion of this body of believers. Notice number 2 at the top of page 2. What is the significance of Jesus holding in his possession the seven spirits of God? Well, it means he, Jesus Christ, was holding the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You might want to underline that word fullness. I know when I became a Christian, I was told that upon receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that I would immediately receive the Holy Spirit. And I thought as long as I had the Holy Spirit in me as a Christian, I was going to be just fine. Well, I found out how little I knew in reference to the Holy Spirit that was in me the moment I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. I thought the Christian life was going to become automatic and the Holy Spirit was going to do everything for me. But boy, was I wrong. And the more I study the Word of God, there's more to Christianity than just having the Holy Spirit indwell you and live in you. There is such thing as the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the more I was studying this, the more I was asking myself, how much of the Holy Spirit do I have? Do I really have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? And is this something that I can create? Is this something I can bring about on my own? Or is the Holy Spirit Himself going to create and bring about this fullness? And do I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to live a Christian life that God can use that will bring me into Christ's likeness? So what is the significance of Jesus holding in His possession the seven spirits of God? Well, it means He, Jesus, was holding the fullness of the Holy Spirit, something the church of Sardis desperately needed. Now, you might want to ask yourself the question I asked myself: what is it I'm lacking in as a Christian? I'll tell you real quick, I don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Is it offered to me? Yes, it is offered, but again, it will not come automatically. When you become a child of God and the Holy Spirit steps in you, there is responsibility on my part of being a child of God. I have to understand, I have to learn from the Word of God what the Holy Spirit is all about. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God and no less. Therefore, I have in me the power of God. I have the fullness of His power. But when it comes to the attributes of the Holy Spirit, do I have all of them functioning in me at this moment as a child of the living God? And I begin to realize when I do not have the happiness or the power I think I should have, or the knowledge or the godliness that I should have about my life, I realize that there's something more that I need. Again, it's something I cannot give myself. It's something that I cannot create. It is something that I must surrender to. It is something that I must submit to. It is something that I must desire. It is something that I must want. It is something I must say to the living God with words coming out of my mouth and an open heart that is open and given to Him. Heavenly Father, what do You need to do with my life that I may receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, that I will lack nothing as a child of God, and You can use me in any way that You want? Back to the printout. It means He, Jesus Christ, was holding the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So who is actually the giver of the fullness of the Holy Spirit? It is Jesus Christ, also actually the Holy Spirit. It is something the church of Sardis desperately needed. They were becoming numb and dead spiritually and needed to be re-energized here by the Spirit of the living God. So make a note here, if you will. The Christian life is one of spiritual function. The Christian life is one of spiritual function. Then, if you will, write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. Now, I'm going to go to my notebook that you do not have. I have some more writing on the Holy Spirit, and I want you to listen just as closely as you can. I want you to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not just a little dab of the power of the Holy Spirit. Here is verse 18, Ephesians 5, 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin you. your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Underline the word filled. And the word filled in the Greek means this: to maximum capacity, I am to be filled. That maximum capacity of fulfillment will be defined by God Himself. God will say, you are completely full. If I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit functioning in my life, then I will know I have reached the capacity to function in fullness of the Spirit that God desires in my life. To do what God has called me to do what God has gifted me to do. All right, now let me read on. The filling of the Spirit must be repeated for effect. So you're telling me that when I ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not going to last throughout my physical life on earth. That is correct. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a repeated process. Write that down. It is a repeated process. Well, I asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday. That's not good enough for today. It's a new day. It's a new experience. It's a new challenge. So therefore, what was yesterday needs to be repeated today. Today, you should get up a new day and say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please, according to Ephesians 5:18, please fill me with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you're asking me to do this new day in my life as a child of God, I will have the power of God and the giftedness of God to bring about the glory of God, to bring about witness of Almighty God, and to bring about Christ's likeness in this Christian life that you are divinely enabling me to live. The filling of the Holy Spirit must be repeated every day of your life. Secondly, believers must volitionally. What is volition? It is you making a decision to do what God is motivating you, divinely persuading you to do. Okay? Please listen. Believers must volitionally and repeatedly open themselves to the Holy Spirit's ongoing daily guidance and control. What do I need from the Holy Spirit every day that I cannot give myself? Number one, I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If I am going to function in a spiritual way, in the spiritual realm, as a Christian here on physical planet Earth. So every day, I need supernatural guidance that's going to come from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I need supernatural control that is going to come from the Holy Spirit. I can't control myself. You can't control yourself. We need, again, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and control. Now, here's a little side note. The believer must live under the Spirit's supervision. The child of God must live under the Holy Spirit's supervision. Now let's look at that phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first thing to notice is it is a present passive imperative. What does that mean? You must continue to be filled. We talked about that each and every day. To face each and every moment in every scene of life that God is going to allow to happen in your life to bring about maturity and growth in Christ likeness. So you must continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is a command and not an option. What if I do not pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit one day? Then you have committed a sin. You have committed a sin. Because in the Greek language, the word be is imperative. It is a command. He's not asking you. He's telling you. He's saying this is a must in the life of every child of God. It is a command and not an option. This is the normal state for all believers, not the exception. Next, believers are to be available. Question, how available are you to receiving the fullness and functioning in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? All right? Believers are to be available. I'll let you answer that question. Then sensitive. How sensitive are you to what God wants to do in your life? How sensitive are you that God wants to bring about the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life as a child of God? Believers are to be available. Are you? You're to be sensitive. Are you? And you are to be obedient to the Spirit's forming of Christ in your daily lives. What is the reason for the fullness of the Holy Spirit? So Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father are all in on this. So Jesus Christ can be formed in our daily lives. Is the forming of Christ going to happen overnight? Will it just take a week? Will it just take a month? Will it just take a year? The forming of Christ in the life of the believer is a lifelong process. That's why the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing or a one-time event. It must be repeated every day that you and I live as a Christian again in this physical body on planet Earth, because it's never going to stop. This is a process that will go on and on as long as we are here. All right, here's the next thing. Believers cannot fill themselves, but must allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom. Number one, freedom. That hit hard. That hits hard. How many of you would stand up? How many of you would raise your hand and say, Terry, at this moment, I'm ready to give the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father the freedom that they need to what? Form Christ in my life. To bring about Christ's likeness in my life. How many would raise the hand and say at this very moment, Holy Spirit, strip me of myself. Strip me of myself. For I want to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, that I can live as a child of God to your glory and grow in Christ's likeness like you ask me to do. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, I give you the freedom to strip me of everything that would keep me from receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Got a hand? You ready? Thank you so much. Believers cannot fill themselves, but must allow. Must allow. Look at the word allow if you write it down. You must allow. Is this what the Holy Spirit wants to do? Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. Since the Holy Spirit is God, then He brings about divine persuasion in you to do what God prefers. Remember the word love in the Greek language? The word love in the Greek language means to do what God prefers. Well, what does God prefer? That you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, that they may work in your life in a mighty and a powerful way that can move the obstacles that need to be moved in your life. So you can face everything. Listen, face everything. You tell me, is there anything that can overcome the power of Almighty God? I would love to hear it right now. Get after it. There's not. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. That's your living God. It's not denominationalism. It is the living God that you and I need to breathe and eat and feed upon and say, fill me with the fullness of the Holy Spirit of the living God, that I may live a life of divine persuasion, pursuing Christ's likeness, because that's the love of my life. Then there's influence. Believers cannot feel themselves but must allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom. In other words, strip me clean of myself. Do what you want to do with me. Let me tell you something. The most exciting times in your life will be when you finally come before Christ and say, strip me of myself. And brother, when you decide to do that for the glory of God and your growth in Jesus Christ, He will do that, and you will receive a happiness you've never had before. You will receive a spiritual stamina that you have never had before. It's like the song, Joe, that you were singing. That's what it's all about. Amen. Here we go. Influence. Look at the word filled. The word filled. Do believers have a choice in what fills their lives? Yes. You know what? The Christian life is all about making choices, isn't it? Amen. It's all about making choices. Must there be daily intentional submission to the Spirit's producing Christ likeness, particularly as it relates to dealing with people? Yes. Did Jesus die for people? Yes. Note, people are priority. People are eternal. You are very important. Here's another question. How does the believer know he is filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 19, it says, speaking. Speaking what? Don't look at me. I don't have a Bible up here. Here you go. Verse 19, I'm just joking. Verse 19, speaking, singing, making melody. Now listen. The Spirit puts a song in the hearts of believers for God. So I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit so I can sing what the Holy Spirit is putting in my heart as a child of the living God. So when you have your praise time and devotion time and prayer time at home and you're all by yourself, you know what? You just open your mouth and open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know, I feel something on the inside of me, Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father says, you know what? I put something in you that you can't put in yourself. I have put a song in your heart. Now listen, speaking, singing, and making melody. The Spirit puts a song in the heart that you can't put in yourself. Why are there believers that are so distinct and different from other believers in the assembly they attend? Because they have said, strip me clean, Jesus, of myself. For I desire to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And along with the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes a song that you yourself cannot put in your heart to sing. When you do what God prefers, God says, I'll put the song in your heart. And I'm not done. Listen. Speaking, singing, making melody. The Spirit puts a song in the hearts of believers for God. Praises to God break forth. Did you get that? Be careful when you want to shut somebody down that's got their hands raised and they're praising the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if they are fulfilling the agenda here as God asked, then God has put a song in their heart and they're going to, listen to this, praise to God is automatically going to come forth or break forth. It just can't stop itself. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a song God put in you that is supernatural, and it's going to come out. Open your mouth and let the fullness of the Holy Spirit bring it about and bring it out. And brother, when we begin to worship like that, Monty won't be able to stand it. Joe will be walking on top of the piano. And brother, there'll be hands raised. There'll be praise going on. And if you want to see your loving, powerful God go to work, then do what God asks you to do. You know what? He says, I'm not asking you to do this so you can bring it about. I just want your obedience. I just want you to submit. And when you bring and give me what I ask, brother, I will let the praises ring to the rafters and praise and praise and praise and glory and exaltation and adoration will flow in this building. It will flow so loudly, so powerful. You will see things happen from God you've never seen in your life. And God will say, I've been waiting to do this for years and years and years and years and years. Now you have decided you want it. And brother, I'm fixing to open up the treasure chest and I'm fixing to give it to you. Get with it. Thank you. It says a little side note. The believers can't keep quiet or still. When God is working in your life, when God puts a song in your heart, you can't keep it in. It's going to come out, and you're glad for it to come out, all right? So the believers can't keep quiet or still. They must express themselves. Here's the point. The theology expressed in music is the concern. What's the concern in music? The theology. The form of music is always secondary. Dare we disrupt the church of God over personal preferences? I don't give a rip about your personal preferences. You know why? Because I don't care about mine either. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, God said, I'm stripping you of your personal preferences. It ain't about what you want or how you think it ought to be. Do you actually have the audacity to tell God how things ought to be? Do you actually have the audacity to say, God, you got the wrong music here. And God's going to say, who put you in charge? Right. Brother, when the fullness of the Spirit is functioning in your life as a child of the living God, you will be in tune with Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And you will function in a beautiful spiritual manner. Right. And you know what will take over? Love. Love. When I walk around to you and pray for you, it ain't for show. I love you people. More than you know. I really do. That's because you give it back? No. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you because I want you to have what's in the Bible. And when you really get a good dose of it, you'll get so excited, you can't help but share it. You can't help but play it. You can't help but sing it. And if somebody's griping about the chairs, go somewhere else. Here we go. So dare we disrupt the church of God over personal preferences? For worship is a matter of the heart, not the beat. Amen. Question. So what does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Daily Christ-likeness that comes from daily submission to Christ and His Word. Well, back very quickly. We'll finish up here. Here's a point. Number one. Jesus Christ has in His possession the medicine that will make believers come alive again. I want you to notice, you got to go to Jesus to get it. You've got to go to Jesus to get it. Jesus Christ, number two, holds the fullness of the Spirit of God for you to be made healthy and whole again in every area of your life. Let me tell you something. For you Baptists that are a little skittish here, you can write down the word physical. You say, oh, Terry, I'll take the spiritual healing. Let me tell you something. I believe God loves to physically heal. I really do. Amen. I'm not telling you He's going to do it with every prayer and every time we ask. But you know what? If you want the fullness of the Holy Spirit, why don't you take what you can't handle? In an amazing Baptist church, we all wave and get excited about things, all that's in the box. But when we get outside the box, hands go down. Looks get serious. Well, let me tell you something. You can't put God in a box. You can't put the Word of God in a box. Amen. They're all eternal. That's why we must be spiritually supervised if we're going to spiritually function. What are the seven attributes of the Spirit of God? Wisdom. You want it? How many of you are facing something right now? And you say, God, this human thinking has got me beat down. I've had all I can stand. I need some what? Supernatural knowledge. Wisdom. Understanding. How many of you understand what you're in right now? Thank you. Counsel. Might. What is might? Power. Would you like to have the all power of Jesus Christ or some of your weak power? Is Satan a weak power? Against God he is. But he's hell on wheels against your power, isn't he? Here we go. Knowledge. Fear of the Lord. And godliness. Hang with me. Question number three. Was the church of Sardis spiritually depleted? Yes. Oh, we were going great, man. Good denominational meetings. I don't find denomination in the Bible. Did they need, number four, all seven of these manifestations of the Spirit? How many did you think you needed to function in Christianity? Just a little bit? Or as long as I've got Him on the inside of me, He's going to automatically take care of my functioning? Uh-uh. No, what did He say? You got to have more than one. You got to have more than two or three. You need the fullness. You need all the attributes of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And Jesus says, I'm holding them, but I'd love to let go of them and give them to you. Application. The seven spirits of God that Jesus holds in His possession represent the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You thought that was just Assembly of God and Pentecost, didn't you? You know, Baptists, I think you're going to get it one of these days. And you're catching up. And I know if you stay here long enough, you're going to get your bucket full. And what you do with it's going to be your call. You want to be a conqueror? You want to have victory? Or you want to get whipped by the devil all the time? Which of these expressions can you see operating in your life? Of which ones are you spiritually depleted? Humble yourself before God and pray. Ask Him to forgive you of any pride and remove it from your life in exchange for the manifested fullness of His Spirit. I hope when you pray tomorrow, you may pray today this afternoon. Say, I can't wait to get this stuff. Most of you probably pray tomorrow, and I pray that you will, because you know if you don't, it's sinful. Do you have enough guts to say, remove my pride? Would you strip me of myself that I may have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you something. There's not a joy like it. There's not a peace like it. And counseling, would you like to counsel with Jesus? You see what He's offering you? Supernatural everything to function in this world in a supernatural kingdom. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is supernatural and the Word of God is supernatural. And once you grasp that and say, dear God, I want it. You said I could have it. You possess it. Please give it to me. Let me tell you something. If He said, I've got it and I'll give it, He will. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word to let us know we don't have to be scared. We don't have to worry. Because wisdom, it's available from You. Understanding, it's available from You. Counsel, it's available from You. Might is available from You. Knowledge is available from You. The fear of the Lord is available from You. And godliness is available from You. We must decide, take it, live it for the glory of God and Your growth in Jesus Christ. Just think how much people would be stirred by a Christian living the fullness of the Holy Spirit. May we all pray that prayer and never stop. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.